Well, we had a catastrophe, almost a catastrophe in the village tonight. I sent Beth over to find the rock, that famous rock that hasn't even been interpreted. That would be like throwing out a book from the Bible that really was canonized and hadn't been read. Now, this rock hasn't really been heard. And already it was back in the heap. And because one of those who had seen him was near Beth. And that's what a true apostle is, one who has seen him. Because Willie was there, Willie detected the rock, and we had the same rock back. And the rock is now on the altar. I don't know if that's an improvement, but I think it's a safer place. I think people who are prone to throw away holy symbols like rocks that are brought together for a purpose are less inclined to take it from the altar because they probably think it's for the next worship service. So now the rock is on the altar. We have a safe place for it. But it's getting to be so safe and sound, this rock, that I don't think we need to know its meaning. And Willie, could we have a little rock music first of all? I don't know, some rock music. The rock has a name. The rock's name is Isness. Did you know that? The name of this rock is Isness. Now, Willie, somehow, through this marvelous process of creative analogous thinking, you're part of the naming of this rock, the Isness rock. And maybe you could shed a little light, enlighten, bring a little revelation to the community, to the rock. And say something about how that rock came into that room. Okay?
Keep the rock music going, fellas.
Sure.
The rock's got to have music.
Now we have a hill. I suppose.
I don't know, and that's as good a way to start as any, because it's not a cop-out. It's obvious. One gets trapped with all of the instruments, which sort of forces him into saying something, and I think he gets trapped by certain personality forces too, which make you produce whether you want to produce or not. So I'm going to say what I think. Now, all of yesterday, after our sessions at Koinonia, I said, well, Herb's expecting us to say something about the rock. And when you're in a group like this, it's difficult to say anything without first working at being profound. You know, it's like coming up with something that nobody else has come up with before, or taking something that somebody else has come up with before and making it particularly Hertzfeldian or something else. And so I thought about it. I said, what, you know, I'll try to write a poem maybe, or do a couple of paragraphs on it, and So finally I said, to hell with it. I'm not going to be profound. I'm going to go back tomorrow. I'm going to ask brokering the question that I've had on my mind, because it was sort of the question that slipped out while we were doing the little thing. And For those of you who don't know the history of how it happened, the truck was dumping them while I was lecturing, and I had gone through the block of wood thing with brokering before, and I remembered it, and it was good, and I said, "Brokering, get up and go out and get a rock. Maybe they'll be quiet." Well, brokering, I think, understood and went out and got it, and there was a pillow there when he came back, and so the rock was on the pillow, and right away the question slipped out. Has that rock lost its rockness? And we really never got around to answering that question. Well, I think I'm going to try to answer it a little bit. Answer my own question. And I think I can do it in about three sentences. The psychological demands that are placed on, quote, outsiders, when they come, or either they are moved into a different climate and a different setting, is sometimes almost unbearable. It's sort of like you can hear a thousand voices yelling at you, "Be one of us," which is to say, be the way we want you to be. And in order for this to happen, it's called integration, by the way, you must deny your very essence. You must deny all of your isness. You must deny the creation and the incarnation. And we've got a funny way of doing it. And I think that all sorts of paradoxical happenings lend itself to this. And Herb then says the name of the rock is isness, and that's what it is. Now, I suppose it can be changed into a thousand things. The question is it a rock or isn't it? And whether it's going to ever lose its rockness, even though it's reshapen, broken up, ground up, pulverized, and cast to all the winds, still going to be a rock. And I agree. The name of the rock is isness. And that's, I suppose that's my name. And I'm sort of hung with a rather interesting set of questions. What's your name? Too bad we haven't got enough time to have all of you come to the microphone. Maybe brokering is going to take time, I don't know. But we're sort of faced with that, and the rock sort of gets eyes and stares us down and challenges us to be like it.
Rock Day, Rock Week. I didn't hear you. Okay. Make some dance. There's some isness. Pretty nonverbal. Couldn't put it in a hymnal. But you could get it in the Psalms, if you could get it out of the Psalms. It's all hid in there. But we read the symbols and we say the rhythm words. I'm going to ask Dave and Leo to play something specific in just a little while. I went up the hill last night, and I thought of the rock. And the first thing I said was, "Oh hell," which isn't a very nice thing to say, but I must say that I said it. And then I said, "I am not white. I am not German. I am not American." I took it all away from myself, and I de-ismed myself. I wiped myself out. And I remembered that that's when that rock was brought in. When Willie was saying he was black, and someone else was trying to say something about that it didn't matter. But to Willie, it mattered that he was black, because he is black, and had a right to say he was black. And he talked about being an ism. And so I went up there and felt this business of just wiping yourself out, committed spiritual suicide up there. And when I had taken it all away, I took it all back. And I said to someone, I am American, I am German. I even admitted that I was ordained. And I went right down the line, admitted all these things, took it all back, and we put back together. And that was a little bit of a trip that the church has recognized and the people of God have had going in their midst for quite a long while. Tonight I said that, you know, we're going to do some mixing of theology and imagery and personality. Bill was going to leave today, and I wanted Bill to bring a gift to the village. And so Bill did last night with a guitar. It's hard to bring gifts when you've got a busy program. So I wondered how I could sneak in a gift with Bill. That's why I asked Bill. And Bill didn't know what he was going to play, but I had rocks on my head, on my mind. And it was Earth Day, and man, I never saw so many rocks on Earth Day in all my life. So I thought that we'd go with the text, which seemed to be a rock. And I did some of that theological imagery, sneaking around the rock. I know that one. And in Gethsemane at that, and then jumping over it, you know, and then having to go right through it. And I thought, that's an awful place to end. But some real good Sunday school thinking said that isn't the end, so got Jesus on the rock and he had a party. Now this morning Schramm says we need more theological parties, and I felt very affirmed by that. I had to wait a while. Man, when you have to wait like 8 hours to make sure you said the right thing, that's really something. But I know. So I waited and I thought, yeah, that was a place to be. Jesus on the rock throwing a party, a Eucharist. I just think of the imagery and the tumbling around. It's like getting inside a rock tumbler and not being afraid. While Umha was with us, I can't say he was at us, he was with us this morning, I had a brand new idea. I had an idea of taking a pin. I told Mary Henderly this. I had an idea of taking a pin, because that's what Umha did for me, and pricking the center of a period, and it turns into a circle. I am so tired of periods. They seem so final, so judgmental, you know, and so forth. And I do it, and I get it. So I thought, if you could take a pin and have a liturgical act of pricking the center of a period, you get a circle. So thanks somehow, all that, you know, all that stuff you went through. And that's where I ended. And you never know where you end. And the end is usually the beginning. And now I'm on from there. I'm going to have someone read or say something that they that they thought, like maybe you went on a trip of the rock or whatever it was, come up here and I'm going to ask Leo to play softly behind it. Okay? Omaha, you want to?
I started last night.
All right. Someone else want to start now?
Start again.
Yeah, you're good. You're a good starter. Okay?
He's a self-starter.
He's a self-starter.
I don't call this anything.
Oh, wait, Herb. I think you should reiterate for people that want to hear that what your assignment was.
Oh, the assignment was that there's several things you can do that have to do with analogy. Like, I could say, that rock... just have the rock take you somewhere and go with it. Take you on a trip. Maybe it'll take you back 1,000 years or 1,000,000 or, you know, it can go anywhere it wants to. Or the second thing would be to compare the rock with, let's say, a snowball, and then just blow your mind, just let it go. The third thing might be that be the rock. I am the rock. And go from there. And there are some others. That kind of thing. And so these were not assignments, these were little clues for how you might go with a rock.
The rock, gray-streaked obstacle to progress, whitened boundary stone, yet movable, upcurving headrest for frenzied times, stepping stone to wider visions, stumbling block to those who will not see, silent sentinel remembering the past, one among many, yet truly only one for me. A rock? No, my experience.
Who else? Okay. Okay. I have a book here called Breakout. I may not read some of these, but I may tell you about what got me going. And it's this kind of thinking that Umhal and Willie went through to get there. Let's have some war music. That's in the hymnal under W. They don't print it that way.
Fire!
That's how my poem begins. Fire. A year ago, a psychiatrist was here who works with soldiers, sailors, marines, men who, when they heard the word fire, got bombed out and got spun in so tight that now they're in hospitals and they're unwinding. And so I thought, what she does is she chooses the music to play each day. That's about as good as a church organist. And she knows why she chooses it, and she knows what she chooses. So I wrote a thing, and it'd be, I don't know if I can find it, but I have this room full of men who don't have a word to say because that one word was so loud, and it was fire. And so I have a round book, as round as a bullet, and I have them
beginning, she's helping them read the book from the center. Because, you know, when the book, I don't know if you know how pages in a round book go. I don't suppose you, not, well, these pages go like this until the end of the page, that is the end of the book, is in the center. And now that got so jammed that what she was helping them to do was to read their way back into the center. And she said, I will start from the center and I will help them read the, untangle the book. And the whole thing goes through until finally she hears them holler the word that is at the center of the book, fire. And it's the same word that is at the edge of the book, fire. Because that book only has one word, fire. Well, you know, you really have to, you know, take a trip to kind of let that thing stay with you very long. It's easy to dismiss an idea like that. And it's about as foolish as calling a rock isness. It's the holy foolishness that I'm very, very much for. You know, I'm a door. What a nut. I am bread. Are you kidding? I'm water. Would you mind going over that one again? And so it is, you know, all the way through. You heard the bowling balls? One of the first things I wrote was, you know, the strike zone. And I did a thing which never ever came out to print or in print or anything, but I did the entire communion service as a bowling alley. And the pins and all of that, and the gutters, man, you got a thing going there. That could wipe out a whole church building. Shram talking about art forms and all of that. Take a congregation to a bowling alley and take them through that liturgy once. And be a scorekeeper. And the one who loses wins. I don't know. You know, you got a lot of things going when you put imagery and your imagination and your theology butt up against each other. And that's kind of what we want to do. Has anyone, you're going with a piece of wood. Did you want to say something about it? No? I thought maybe you had a story about that piece of wood. Where did the wood come from? Pardon? No, want to tell us? Holden, you can say anything. Okay, fine. Come on up. We'd like to hear it. Well, what? I just thought that you had brought the wood. I was serious. I thought you brought the wood to say something about the wood. Yeah, I thought you did. You're going to take it home?
No, I'm making something.
Oh, are you? What are you going to make? Yes. Okay. Thank you. I want to read one called Junk Arise. I'd like to have Leo again play some background music. Begins with the word poverty. A little dialogue. Poverty. They never called it poverty. Depression. 1935. Well, they didn't use the word. Enough. Just enough of everything. That's what they said. Well, it isn't that simple. In a simple time of having just enough of everything, he learned how to make his own by rummaging in the junk. For forever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. Amen. Rest in peace. He learned how to make his own by rummaging around in the junk, just collecting pieces to put them together, making toys. I've got, now, running through this thing is imagery and also, may I use the word theology, kind of tumbling around all kinds of stories here. My whole Sunday school experience, God bless my teachers, collecting pieces and putting them together, making toys, creating toys. The junkyard was his bench, his warehouse. Straight pipes, curved rods, and rusted wheels. His tools were his hands and his head. They could not buy him what he needed to play. They could not buy it. And the toys they could not buy, he made. And then some. He put them together like a craftsman. At 7, he was an inventor. And at 8 and 9, a kind of creator. And then it happened. More things, more junk to fit together, more pieces. It was the fall of his brother. And now there were some new pieces to fit together. And he could only play with them like junk, like a 10-year-old would. It was going on winter, and winter on spring. The hill was his new workbench. It was a cluttered hill, heaped. He sorted through it, he rummaged. In the winter, in the new mound of earth, the marker with the new words of birth and death typed neatly. There were new pieces, and there were others, many. The brother, the dirt, the freeze, the thaw, and then the green grass. The cement and the slogans carved in marble, and the word Jesus. Jesus was in the boy's new collection now, a new collection of junk. He had never had a course in art or welding or toy making or theology or in the business of handling junk. Now he was making what he could not buy in the Depression, in poverty. He still specializes in the art of making something valuable out of scraps. Out of pieces, junk, rusted, oily, dead, and green. They say he's rich, still doing it, putting things together like a hobby for a living. You want to talk about that? Maybe, you know, maybe it'd be helpful to talk about it, because I don't think just to, you know, sit here and read them is a solution to my problem, your problem, the world's problem, or all the potentials and possibilities that we have. What's happening to you? Why did you go to that one, Dave and Leo? Yeah. Great. Just pick up a word and go with it. Don't think it through too long. Huh? You may get programmed out. Pardon? So we go with them. That's, does this put, does this begin, is this a way to put together? Does this take apart or does this put together?
Uses what somebody else has
described. What else have we got? Depends on how you use the word discarded, you know. Maybe you could say what anyone else has given away, or dropped along the way, or said unknowingly, or done without thinking, or deliberately. Huh? I mean, what else have we got? Oh, I'm tired. It's I take now. Wait a minute. That's two of one in my family and one of my friends. That's a majority. I envisioned you, Vern Moore, coming down the aisle of St. John's. In your white robe and your stole, which is a green yoke, holding this very perfectly and walking up to that beautiful chancel as a sign of being a servant.
I can do it, but I only do it once.
Yes, sir. Yes, Doris. Yeah. It's a little yeah. Last year, or was it the year before, we had, in one of the nights, well, one of the times when I'm here, we're going to spend a day on what is, what I, you know, the way I imagine, the way you imagine what an offering is. I remember one night we had dirty clothes up here, and we had a baby, Holly was up here, and we had a snake that a kid wanted to bring in, and we just had that altar, I would say, littered. It was kind of a littered altar. And then everybody took it back. Can you imagine taking an offering back, putting it into your pocket, back in your house? So it made the complete circle. And suddenly, in some of our minds, it looked like an offering was a cycle. You pick it up, lift it up, and then take it back down and live with it. It's like taking money and shuffling it after the offering. And after the, you know, the minister said the prayer, you shuffle it back into your billfold, and then you don't know whether you're spending consecrated or unconsecrated money all week. Does something to your whole pocketbook.
Herb?
Yes, sir.
That idea intrigues me. I was trying to think what I would bring up to the altar. What would you as a minister bring up to the altar?
I wouldn't come as a minister in the, not a, that way, I guess. I don't think of myself as a minister. Yes, and that's a minister I would come as. See, if we all came as ministers, what would I bring? Something unfinished. something with a comma after it. What is that?
How would you feel crawling up on the altar?
How would I feel crawling on the altar?
Yeah.
I'd feel fine. I'd crawl on this one if it wouldn't fall. I wouldn't. I had a dream.
There was a man once who stepped into an offering plate.
Yeah.
Got his foot stuck.
Got his foot stuck in the gum. Well, there are all kinds
of... Don't mess
of...
up my thing.
I'm sorry. No, true, which is what you're saying, to be honest. What would you bring? Would you want to? What would you bring to the altar? Church, yeah. What do you see as the significance of getting up on the altar? His question. What do you see as the importance of, you know, his question of being up there?
Truthfully?
Yeah. Well, you can hide it if you sneak a little first.
Pretending to get a little closer.
Okay.
There's one string of thoughts here.
Yes, Vern.
With respect to what those kids did out here, you know, that has, you know, not about many of us do that, that's different, you know, bring it off and take it back home. After all, what is an offering? Somebody said last night in the after session that we had here, you know, you be worried about some money that some guy would be worried about.
As an extension of ourself, a piece of our body, a piece of our property.
Which is God. Yeah. See, I mean, you're all yes. God. So, what can people offer? I can do this. So I think this is right.
It's going to hurt your stewardship program. We. Yeah, we have to go that whole circle, Vern. We really do. We have to go the whole circle of almost sort of unwinding what that which we have made many speeches about. And you go, that's sort of the pattern of repentance and forgiveness, death and life, winter and summer, and the whole cycle. There are many ways, you know, many ways to see life. My pattern, I got my theology in 1935, when I was 9, is the resurrection motif. That, because the story was true, the story that I read. It was my brother on the hill. The seminary never quite got that. Didn't, well, I don't know. I have one called Unscrew the Lid. And I'd like to have some Tinker Toy music. I don't know if you can buy Tinker Toy music. No. There's kind of a late. There's always a sort of an incubation time, and seed time. This is sort of how I feel about Sylvia Ashton Warner's book. I translated her book into these two pages called "Unscrew the Lid." Sylvia Ashton Warner says that people who are 5 years old are probably, you know, pretty much the old people by now, and it's hard to get young again. They have already been screwed down. And so what I'm doing here is, I had some fun, I guess. I'm going back, as we all do, to stories we know. When I'm done, I'm going to ask you two questions, and one of the questions is going to be, is there anywhere in the scriptures where we have an affirmation of this kind of thing? Now, I don't know if that's a proper use of the Bible. That would be kind of to see whether life is so. I don't know. I could see I could ask you, is the Bible so? Now, that would be another way. But I could also say, could we go to the scriptures to see if life is so? That's another interpretation principle, and I kind of like that one, at least for a while. Umha will probably give me another one before next week, and then I'll go with it for a couple of years, and that's all right with me. It's bedtime. The best time, the worst time, bedtime. Time to take down the tower, the Tinker Toy Tower. Time to take apart the merry-go-round before it was done. Done being put together and being whirled up and spun. It was a long day on the merry-go-round, a long day of expectation. And piece by piece, it fell into place, and now it was night. And it all fell apart for the sake of the hour. the hour for bed, bedtime. And the hope of the merry-go-round ended, and the day ended. It was dark. Time to stop, time to clean up. Time to tear down, time to clean up. Time to tear apart, time to clean up. To bring to an end, to end what was not done, to put the project away into a box. To lay the blocks on a pile, to shut the lid, to take down the beams, to unfold the engines, to topple the antenna towers, to crush the cement wall, to heap the blocks into a pile, a neat pile of blocks, to collapse the Colosseum and the planned bleachers, to stop, to put it away, to start over and over and over and over and over, to stop at bedtime, bedtime, time to go to bed, tear down, put away, clean up, and go to bed. Good night. Goodbye, Tower. Tinker Toy Tower. Just put together Tinker Toy Tower. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord the toy to keep. Good morning. Here we go again. Tinker Toy Tower. Unscrew the lid. I can't. It won't screw anymore. Where was I in the theological world, the biblical world? Where were you? It doesn't matter where I was, because that's not what it's all about. Where were you? Burns. Okay. Willie?
I thought about church convention.
Willie was at a church convention.
Sure.
Okay.
How many?
Go ahead.
How many times have the questions been put?
Yeah.
The Jonah saw the whale, vice versa.
Okay.
Yeah,
I want to ask you a question in a little while, and Vern too, but I want to go on and get some more. I want to ask you two a question. Okay, where were you? Is that okay to be there? It's about as theological. That's what existentialism is all about. They got a good name for it. Yes.
Think of one day at a time.
Okay.
Start again, freshly.
Why did you take them apart when you just put them together?
It happened
already.
Yeah. The long
thing
that begins
with
the
round thing. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Beautiful. What, may I ask you, Vern? Yeah, anyone else? You know, yes.
First, I thought of building tower, this was my
Yeah. What is that? What? Yes, Don.
I was rebelling against the mother that made that child tear that thing down just because it was bedtime. Not because he was done with it or tired of it, but just because it was bedtime. I don't think that's a legitimate reason for tearing down a tinker toy tower.
Okay. I won't have a chance to tell you what I was thinking. All I had a chance to tell you what I was, you know, unthinking here. Vern, the last line says, you know, unscrew the lid, and it says it won't screw anymore. What do you make of that?
The eschaton
is here. What do you think? Yeah. No, to me, may I say, well, to me it was a hip hip hooray. That the thing, you know, I've taken it off so many times now, that Mom maybe wouldn't ask me to put it back anymore because I can't even keep the lid screwed on. That was Easter. That was my Easter. And everything before was my Good Friday. Now that's letting you in on mine. That Good Friday is everything stopping before it gets burst. Before it gets kind of made. And I have to go back. And finally I was so glad when the thing, the old stone was rolled away. That's what the unscrewed thing was for me. Well, I didn't want to, I don't explain it anyway here, and I don't have any idea what people think who read these. Let's have a good Christmas song back here, boys. Whatever you want. That's good enough for a couple more. Feel like it? Yeah. I'm going to read one and then you guys can play, and we'll play as long as you want about anything you want. I went to a would you begin again? this is beautiful. I went to a concert, a junior high concert, and you know how wonderful those junior high concerts can be. And there they were, all dressed up in their costumes so that they looked like a checkerboard, red and white, or whatever the colors of the thing were. Looked like a chessboard. And this one, they had a virtuoso invited. Now, a virtuoso is the kind of person whom everybody there is supposed to become like, if possible. And this was a violin virtuoso. And was he ever fantastic? You should have heard the pedigree. He tuned up beautifully. And he went, he began. And I sat back in the corner and wanted to write one thing about that night. He's a virtuoso, a graduate of the symphony, guest soloist. The children are glued to him. Their black and red uniforms are as quiet as a checkerboard, and they're like hypnotized. The violin is like a toy to him. He's like a pro, and he couldn't fumble it, even if the whole violin section tackled him. It's tucked in there tight and free, and his left fingers slide over the four strings. The strings are like waxed, like an ice rink, and his fingers do acrobats over the surface of the nylon. They jump on the strings with the vibrato of a trampoline. They're limp. They're trained to jump four octaves and to send chords and solos into their eyes and into their ears. It is also what they see him begin and play seven measures and stop, a virtuoso, stop, in front of all the children, stop, and start over, retuning the one string, and everyone looking, watching. He just quit right in the middle of the seventh major. The string was not quite right. It wasn't noticeable, no one could tell. Well, it was sharp, or maybe it was flat. I don't know. It only took 10 seconds. He'd taken long in the beginning, tuning it, tightening the pegs. Must have a very sensitive ear.
He should have gotten it right at the beginning. This was a performance, and his first. They'd only heard of him. They waited long to hear him and see him. It seemed more like a rehearsal, stopping to tune on the very first page. And they all saw him, and no one moved. They seemed surprised, real surprised, that he'd open himself up to criticism like that. They didn't budge when he did it. No one has moved for five numbers except to applaud, four numbers and four ovations, and there'll be a fifth. But they'll remember that he stopped to tune the violin. Yeah, we'll all remember that the one string wasn't just right, and he stopped and he tuned it, and that he did it as if it was part of the piece, that he tuned it and started all over. They'll probably bring him back for an encore, even if he stops right now, to retune. I wonder if we could have that beautiful version again of that first song you played at Christmas. That's what reminded me of it. That one that had all of this jingle bells. The way you did it was beautiful. Musically. Okay. Maybe we'll get together tomorrow night. You guys, you know, stay and play. I'm glad you came, Leo, Dave. This thing, I hope, kind of becomes like a snowball. I hope next week that we have, you know, have something that kind of ends in a dance, and maybe Willie will take me piggyback riding and something spectacular like that. I think we're due for that. I have a feeling that Easter's coming. And like Vern says, we'll probably put it together with a lot of junk.